A quick note before we begin today's presentation. Today's episode includes frank discussions about child sexual abuse and substance abuse. This content may be difficult for some listeners, so please take care of yourself. Listener discretion is advised. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 43, brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. My name is Chris Albrecht. I'm Director of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. I edit the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper. I host a little radio show called the West Texas Catholic, the audio version. And on this radio show, you'll hear the conversation we're about to have with Monsignor Michael Caldwell, JCL, of the Diocese of Amarillo. It's a very interesting story. And we'll share that with you here in just a couple of minutes. Plus, we'll get you up to date with all kinds of diocesan news. But first, if you'll assume an attitude of prayer, let us pray for religious liberty. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dime's worth of opinions, not necessarily those of the Diocese of Amarillo, the Diocesan Office of Communications, or Cap'n. First off, continue to pray for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers. We never, ever quit praying for rain and hoping for rain. Pray for that favorable weather. Our farmers and ranchers certainly deserve that. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the broken, the uncertain, the confused, and the incarcerated. Continue to pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life, and for our two great seminarians, Benjamin Sego and Richard Escalante. AmarilloVocations.org has everything you need to know about vocations in one place. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you for all you do for us. Your efforts do not go appreciated. Make sure you've gotten yourself registered to vote and get ready to join us at the polls on Tuesday, November 3rd for the general election. As Catholics, we have a moral obligation to vote in elections. A couple of quick reminders, more diocesan news at AmarilloDiocese.org, WestTexasCatholic.org. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Amarillo Diocese is our handle there, and we do post quite a bit there. Next issue of the West Texas Catholic will be dated Sunday, September 20th. Goes up as a flock note Monday morning, September 14th. Be on the look for that. Our next podcast will be dropping on Friday, August the 28th. We're brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. And very important, folks, thank you for the privilege of your time. And a quick reminder before we begin our conversation, today's episode includes frank discussions about child sexual abuse and substance abuse. This content could be difficult for some listeners, so please take care of yourself. Listener discretion is advised. Our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 43, brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. Good friend of mine, I've known, gosh, how long have I known you, Monsignor Michael Caldwell?
Forever.
35, 36 years.
Something like that.
Monsignor Michael Caldwell is our guest, and today, sobriety and holiness, I guess, is the best way to describe this episode. And before we get into what your new mission is here in the Diocese of Amarillo, you have a story. Yes. And I'm going to let you share that story. Oh.
Well, thank you very much. I will get to this new ministry here in a moment. But what led me to develop this program, this new ministry, stems from my own experience with chemical dependency. And, you know, it wasn't something that I struggled with my whole life, for certainly. My mother passed away in 2009, and she was, you know, I was a mama's boy, and she was just the light of my life and my best friend. And I really struggled with that. And that was kind of the beginning. And then I was a pastor there in Borger. She lived with me and my father there in Borger in 09. And anyway, I struggled with that. I began drinking. And then I was transferred in 12, I think it was, to Dalhart. I kind of continued that. But it wasn't until I really, my last year at Dalhart, so this would have been, I don't know, 19, something like that, 2019. And then my father started having strokes. He was hospitalized 15 times in 1 year. And so it was just my answer to everything. And anyone who has struggled with alcohol or drug abuse knows what I'm going through, that your escape is the bottle or a pill or drugs. I've never had issues with pills or drugs, but alcohol certainly was a form of escape for me. Now, and also behind all of this, in many ways at the heart of this struggle was the fact that I privately, for 54 years, tried to deal with the trauma of sexual abuse. I was, unfortunately, sexually abused by a priest of this diocese, and I'll name his name. He's deceased, and not to besmirch a deceased person, but I think it's important. He's on the list. He's on the official list that's on the diocesan website, is Father O'Brien. You know, he was an Irish priest. My mother was from Ireland, and he would come over a lot, you know, to, you know, have a cup of tea. And so he would come over all the time because my mother had really good Irish bread and tea and all that good stuff, and just to swap stories of their homeland and all that. But sadly, he would also use that opportunity. Of course, if my mother or father ever knew, they had no idea, zero idea. Anyway, I don't want to focus too much on that, but that haunted me for 54 years and affected me in so many different ways. And when I was in counseling, dealing with, you know, my struggle with alcohol, I finally decided to speak about it. And I had an opportunity to speak about it. And it was such a relief, I tell you. Anyway, so I mentioned my story because I know that so many folks who struggle with alcohol and drug addiction and pills and all of that, almost 99% of the time, there's a trauma behind that. There's a real struggle that is maybe unresolved. Lots of different things that can lead to a person, and also hereditary, you know there's a lot of, sadly, alcoholism in my family on both sides, uncles and other things like that. But that's the challenging aspect of this. But it's a reality that anyone who struggles with chemical dependency, any one of them could sit in this chair and tell their own story. So I tell that story just to give people hope, you know, that they're not alone. And also maybe brother priests, I don't know of anyone in particular, but, you know, any brother priest that struggles, any of our beautiful lay people, deacons, others who struggle in this area, I'm here to let them know that they're not alone, that there is hope. And what I think the Holy Spirit has inspired me to create with this program is a way to help them, as I have been helped, to deal with and to find sobriety. There is hope. There is that possibility of sobriety, as we will get into with Matt's way to sobriety. It's not just sobriety, as you mentioned, because sobriety is not the end. And I think that's what's so important. AA has helped me, to be honest, the 12-step program, but their message can only go so far. It can help people attain sobriety, as I have attained sobriety, but that becomes the end. But sobriety, according to the way of Matt Talbot, Venerable Matt Talbot, is just a stepping stone to holiness. And that's the end. Holiness is the end. Now, if you can achieve sobriety, that in and of itself is heroic and important and quite an accomplishment. I have been sober for 6 years. That is an important milestone, let's say. But I can't just, you know, pat myself on the back and say, well, you know, I've been sober 6 years and I'm good to go. The next step is holiness. And the story of Matt Talbot is a very poignant story for anyone who struggles with chemical dependency. He lived about 150-ish years ago. And at the age of 12, he became an alcoholic. He actually worked in a wine press or something where they bottled wine or whatnot. And I guess he had a habit of sampling the sampling the goods. Now, this is a time, you know, before AA, before the Big Book, before 12-step program, all of that. And he really struggled with alcoholism from the age of 12, a little boy, to the age of 28. And for those years, when he would receive his paycheck, he would just turn it over to the barkeep and say, hey, here's my paycheck. Let me know when it runs out. It would pretty much kind of take care of his needs for a week or two or month. And that's how he lived. And I can understand this mindset. I used to spend a whole bunch of money on alcohol every month. And I'm being very honest here, you know, because I think that's important. I don't want to water down anything because folks that need to hear this message, they can relate to what I'm saying. So he lived with his mother and father who struggled with this and prayed for him, especially the mother prayed for him and prayed for his healing and conversion and all that. And so at the age of 28, his paycheck pretty much ran out on one particular day. The bartender wouldn't give him a drink. And so he turned to his friends who he had, you know, probably bought a couple rounds for them in the past for probably years. They wouldn't pay for a drink. And out of that kind of, let's say, frustration and anger, it stirred within him, and this is the Holy Spirit, you know, out of the lack of the lack of generosity of his friends, the Holy Spirit was stirring that, you know, and stirring in him. And he kind of became so disgusted, and it wasn't just disgusted with his friends, but kind of disgusted with where he was in life. He's 28, he's a drunk, and he's done. And in Ireland in those days, there was a thing called the pledge, which entailed not drinking for 3 months if you take the pledge. So he went to his mother and he said, I'm going to take the pledge. And I'm sure she was thrilled to hear that. Mm-hmm. You know, you can imagine. But she said to him, son, if you're going to take it, be serious about it. What it entailed was going to make a good confession and to be absolved by the priest, and to make the pledge there in the context of maybe not confession, but right after confession, to make it official. And he was sober for 3 months. He renewed the pledge after 3 months successfully. He did that another 3 months, and then he took a pledge for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of went on, and he never drank again for the remaining decades of his life. But what I love about this is that it wasn't just a private thing, although that's important, our private prayer and our promises we make to God and all that, but it involved the sacrament of reconciliation. It involved the church. It involved a priest. It involved his mother praying for him. And I know for a fact, when you struggle with alcohol, drugs, pills, whatever it might be, that sadly, in many ways, becomes your God. You know, it's like an idol for you. It's what makes life worth living. It's what gives you an escape. It gives you a way out of the day-to-day drudgery of life or trauma, whatever it might be. And that was his escape. That became, as it did for me, like an idol, a false God, you know? So he came to, through his sobriety, and that's what's important here, that becoming sober, he started to be able to think more clearly, which is so true and so necessary. And in that clarity of thought, he started to reflect on Christ, to reflect on the incarnation. And he began to ask, if the incarnation is true, if Jesus Christ truly died on the cross, suffered his passion and death for mankind, and if he died for me that I might have life as Jesus says, in abundance here on earth, but and life eternal, that demands a response. That kind of love, the Father's love, sending his Son into the world, God becoming man, that's what the incarnation is, God becoming man, becoming one of us, to not taking on our sins, but taking on our humanity and understanding the human condition. And in that, as a God-man, Jesus Christ, responding to the Father's will, these are the things that's going through the mind of Venerable Matt Talbot. And he says, you know, that kind of love demands a response. There should be no limit to my response to that kind of love. I should not put any markers. I should not, there should not be any limit whatsoever to that kind of love. And then he starts thinking, okay, how do I respond? What do I have? What can I give? How can I love Jesus and show my love for Jesus and what he did for me and for all of mankind in his passion? And he came to the realization through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the only thing that he could give to Christ that was meaningful in his life was his love for alcohol and his desire to remain sober and his desire to be converted and become a new person in Christ. And I think a lot of us living in a very secular society, and even as devout Catholics, we can kind of gloss over or forget or whitewash the passion of Christ. But we always have to be reminded. And Matt's way, we are reminded of what Christ did for us and that it demands a response from us. And so he gave that over to Christ. That was his gift. And that's Matt's way.
And it's a very effective way. Monsignor Michael Colwell is our guest here on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. And you've had three initials behind your name for quite some time, JCL, mm-hmm. Judicial Canon Lawyer. But you're getting ready to hopefully add a few more initials. Let's talk about that real
yes,
quick.
Yes, yes. Those initials served me well for many years helping, you know, with the canon law and helping all of our different bishops, you know, throughout the years. But I have some other initials now, and it's LCDCI, which stands for Licensed Chemical Dependency Counselor Intern. So right now I have a license from the state of Texas, but it's an intern license. Mm-hmm. So I can't do, you know, actual counseling officially, but I'm an intern. And so I'm hoping by this fall, winter, to have the full license from the state of Texas. But what I am doing now with this Matt's Way, it's a support group. You know, you don't have to license to facilitate a support group. And, you know, really, as I've been kind of talking about, the point of Matt's Way certainly is sobriety, but the true end is holiness. That because Matt Talbot, he remained sober, and that sobriety led him to an incredible walk with Christ, an ascetic life, a life of penance and prayer, beautiful example of service. So holiness is the goal for all of us, not just people who struggle with alcohol or drugs. We're all called to be saints.
What makes Matt's Way different from AA, Monsignor?
Thank you for asking that. You know, I've gone to, I can't even tell you how many AA meetings I've gone to, and they have been helpful. So I do not want to knock AA in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, as a Catholic, as Christians, it started to kind of rub on my sensibilities as a Catholic. And sadly, AA, in order to kind of have a broader outreach, they have kind of watered down their Christian message. And instead of using the word God, they use higher power. Because a lot of people, their higher power that's supposed to assist them in this can be anything. It can be the front door that brought them into the meeting. It could be the group itself. It could be their sponsor. It could be some pagan god. It could be anything. And also the use of the Lord's name in vain. Just really, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. I just stopped going because of that, to be quite honest. Because when you go to an AA meeting, there's people of all walks of life, and it can help you to attain sobriety, but not holiness. And that's why I'm offering this as an alternative. Yes, we draw from the best of AA, Big Book, 12 Steps. We draw from that. I'm almost an expert in all of that. So I don't discount that. I draw from it. But folks who will come and who are coming to this Matt's Way, this alternative to AA to achieve sobriety, also leads to holiness. And so one of the keys of this is human dignity. You know, we have a dignity as human beings made in the image and likeness of Christ. Through Christ's incarnation, he has come into the world. He's taken on our humanity. That has elevated our dignity. So I don't think it's healthy to constantly call ourselves alcoholics or drug addicts. Psychologically, there's all sorts of studies you can look up that show that that is a very unhealthy thing to do, to keep calling, you know, because we're more than our addiction. We're more than our disease. People don't go around saying, I'm leukemia, or I'm cancer, or I'm fatty liver disease. You know, that's ridiculous, because we're more than that. There is a beautiful human dignity that we all have. But it is important to say, yes, I struggle with drug addiction or alcoholism or pills or whatever, whatever the struggle might be. We have to be honest, but we need to stop calling ourselves a disease. The other thing is this. In AA, step one, you have to say, I am powerless. There has been a time in my own life, in any addict's life, or someone who's addicted, to where we have relinquished our power over to the drug of choice or the drink. And then we also have to basically say our life became unmanageable, which there is a truth to that, absolutely. But it's almost to the point where there's no more free will. And that's not true. You know, I'm reminded of 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, you have not received a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-control. And so we, as fully initiated Catholics, Christians, have received this power, these gifts from the Holy Spirit. And yes, certainly in the throes of addiction, we relinquish a lot of this power and love for Christ. It becomes a love for the drug of choice, and we relinquish a lot of our self-control. So yes, our lives can become unmanageable and have, and there is a sense of powerlessness. But by becoming sober, stabilizing that aspect of our lives, we can now tap into the power, the love, the self-control that we have received from the Holy Spirit. And when I say love, it's, remember what I mentioned earlier, was love demands a response. Mm-hmm. The love of Christ demands a response. And so we've been given the capacity to love God as he should be loved and love our neighbor. So that is the point of Matt's Way. As St. John says in his first letter, he talks about this first love. The first love is the love of God that we have experienced. And because we've experienced that love, we have the capacity to respond to God with a type of divine love, because that's the kind of love we've experienced. And that's the kind of love we're called to show. It's a sacrificial love. And in Matt's Way, you're sacrificing what was once so important to you. You are now offering that to Christ. That is the response that is demanded of us and of all of us, and especially those who struggle with addiction. So we do have free will. We do have a power. And Christ has gifted us to utilize those gifts in order to not just remain sober, but to become holy. Because the end for all of our lives is holiness and unity with God. You know, the real end that hopefully we all strive for is the beatific vision, seeing God as he is face to face in the beatific vision in heaven. And so Matt's Way helps those who have been in the darkness and the throes of addiction and disease. It gives them hope.
There's two support groups that are being created here in the Diocese of Amarillo, one English, one Spanish. Let's reinforce this point, folks. This provides a safe, anonymous Christian environment in which participants will be guided in man's way to sobriety and holiness. Now, and you're doing it in both English and Spanish, correct?
Yes. Monday, 6:30 p.m. in English. Every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. in Spanish.
And we are at St. Francis Convent, 4301 Northeast 18th Avenue, and we are in the old library there.
Yes, the Franciscan sisters have been kind enough to offer this space to us. And, you know, it's humble beginnings. So I encourage anyone who happens to be listening to this podcast to prayerfully consider coming to one of those support groups, whichever one you feel more comfortable with, English or Spanish, and to be able to be with others who understand and who can help you to achieve sobriety, but a sobriety that leads to holiness. So if you're interested in any of this, if you're serious about sobriety, serious about the possibility of what that sobriety can lead to, which is holiness, I invite you.
And how can they find out more, Monsignor?
They can find out more by contacting me on my personal phone number, which is 806-910-6067. Also, you could email me, which is Father Caldwell, C-O-L-W-E-L-L, @gmail.com. FatherCaldwell@gmail.com. And so I'm inviting you personally right now to join us.
Monsignor, first off, congratulations on 6 years of sobriety.
Thank you.
One day at a time.
May Thank
continue
you.
And go forth. The last word's yours.
I just give glory to God for the grace that He has given me, the power, the love, the self-control that He has given me through His Holy Spirit, and I want to give back. And I'm grateful for my sobriety that has led to my continued journey of holiness. Not that I'm have achieved that fully in any way, shape, or form, but I'm on that journey. And it's the sobriety that I've achieved that keeps me on that path towards holiness. And I invite everyone who struggles in this way, in any way, to join us and learn more about Matt's way.
Quick glance at some diocesan news. First off, got to remind you about Spiritual Arms, 5 minutes for the battle. New episodes drop Monday mornings at 7 o'clock with Joshua Correa. It's the best 5 minutes of the work week right there to start with. He will get you up to date with all kinds of things that'll make you think and give you that spiritual arms for the battle. 7 o'clock Monday mornings here on Cap'n. And make sure you check out all of our great programs that are now available on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. Applications for the Diocesan Youth Council for the 26-27 school year now being accepted. Deadline to apply Friday, September 18th at 5 p.m. Council members will be announced Wednesday, September 23rd. First meeting on Sunday, September 27th. Get with Oscar Guzman for all the details here at the Pastoral Center, 806-383-2243, extension 118. Volunteers are still needed at BSA Hospital as communion ministers. Make sure you get with Elma Fletcher. She has all the details, 806-206-4496. Two more quick notes on both of these are on Saturday, September the 19th. Knights of Columbus Council, 8938 at San Jose Church in Hereford, hosting its annual golf tournament. Tee time, 8 o'clock, John Pittman Golf Course, 400 South Main in Hereford. Get in touch with Edward Fuentes for more details, 806-340-8657. Formerly known as the Respect Life Banquet, the 29th Annual Family Life Banquet, presented by the Family Life Ministries Office here in the Diocese of Amarillo, Saturday, September 19th. We start at 6:30 p.m. at St. Thomas the Apostle Church, 4100 South Coulter, here in Amarillo. Please make your reservations before Sunday, September 13th. Please call 806-410-3839. We thank you for joining us for another edition of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 43, brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. Have yourselves a fantastic week. Remember, folks, abortion is not and never will be health care. Viva Cristo Rey.